Folder 62. September 1981. September 19th, 1981. Mr. Russell Galen, Scott Meredith Literary Agency, 845 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022. Dear Russ, 7.5 years ago, the voice that speaks to me, I call it as in Valis, the AI voice, told me that a new savior would be born. And as you know, it has added further details from time to time. The most recent statement coming about 2 years ago when it said, "The time you've waited for has come. The work is complete. The final world is here." He has been transplanted and is alive. After that, it said only one more thing, that the Savior would be found on an island. After that, the voice fell silent. I have asked it repeatedly to tell me where the Savior is and his name. 2 nights ago, the voice broke its silence. Here is a summation. The Savior is named Tagore. I could not catch the other part of the name. He was born, or lives now, in Ceylon, in the rural countryside. He is full-grown, dark-skinned, either a Buddhist or a Hindu Brahmin. He works with an institute or organization involving veterinarian medicine, probably with large farm animals such as cattle. However, he is crippled and can no longer walk. I was shown a vision of him for a few moments, but not of his face, only his crippled, burned legs. He has voluntarily taken onto himself the sins of the world, but very specific sins, those that we have incurred by the dumping of nuclear wastes, especially into the deep oceans. We have dumped canisters that, as they corrode and leak, will toxify the oceans for hundreds of thousands of years and utterly destroy the planet's ecosphere. Tagore is not an avatar of a Hindu god. He is Hagia Sophia, God's wisdom. But he has chosen the East, not the West, for his new incarnation, and is not involved in Christianity, although he is that entity who incarnated 2,000 years ago as Christ or the Logos. The new dispensation, kerygma, is the total ecosphere as a unified entity is holy and must be protected, sanctified, and cherished. Salvation no longer involves humans or human souls either individually or collectively, but the total collective life of the ecosphere, from the snail darter on up. Tagore is dying. He has taken on the stigmata of the radiation burns voluntarily in order to pose man a choice. Man can continue to poison and toxify the oceans and the land with such things as Southeast Asia, in which case Tagore, the wisdom of God, will die and leave mankind. As I say, he is dying now. He will leave behind him, however, an organized following. But they are mostly white and do not fully understand him. What Tagore teaches us is that God and what we are doing to the ecosphere are incompatible. We can have one or the other, but not both. These sins that Tagore takes on are not imaginary sins or doctrine sins, pride, lust, greed, etc. They involve the destruction of the life chain, and not temporarily, but for all time. Tagore, by his self-immolation, his voluntary self-sacrifice, his passion and death, will be notifying us of our choice. Thus, his death will teach us what apparently we otherwise refuse to learn. It is Tagore's hope that his passion and death will cause us, specifically the White West, the advanced industrial powers, to cease producing nuclear wastes, weapons, and the utilization of nuclear reactors, what amounts to a demonic trinity that is killing not only the life chain of our planet, but our own God. Thus, once again, but this time in the East rather than the West, God voluntarily sacrifices himself to save man, that man may live, but this time, not just man, but the entire life chain, the ecosphere, as an indivisible unity. The light has come into the world again after 2,000 years, only to be extinguished in vicarious atonement. What Tagore says, his full doctrine, is undoubtedly being recorded by those around him. I could see a number of people. Maybe I will go to Ceylon. But in the brief vision of Tagore that I had, I saw that he is near death. The ineffable sweetness about him surpassed anything I have ever experienced. It was like music and perfume and colors, yet more. More than I knew could be, more than I can describe or would want to describe. And this, even though I did not see his face, and even though he is crippled and terribly burned by the stigmata, the radiation burns. This was the information I have been waiting for. But I got more than information. More than words by the AI voice. I actually saw Tagore, although imperfectly. The vision will remain with me forever. Cordially, Philip K. Dick, 408 East Civic Center Drive, C1, Box 264, Santa Ana, California, 92701. September 20th, 1981. Mr. Russell Galen, Scott Meredith Literary Agency, 845 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022. Dear Russ, this letter follows the letter of yesterday and must be understood in terms of it. Tagore and his acting as articulate voice of the ecosphere to such an extent that when we burn the ecosphere with radioactive wastes, the radiation burns show up on him, crippling him, and that we are killing him so that he, Hagia Sophia, the wisdom of God, that is Christ, will perish and hence leave our planet unless we protect, cherish, and sanctify the entire ecosphere as a unity. What I realized last night, now that I have heard the new kerygma, is that, very simply, this is Teilhard de Chardin's new sphere. Point Omega, the evolution of the biosphere, which is the same thing as ecosphere, into a collective consciousness, and that collective consciousness, Teilhard believed, is the cosmic Christ. Hence, when I saw Valis, I saw the Logos, the cosmic Christ, as trees and weeds and debris, which is to say, as all nature itself. Furthermore, it either processed information or was itself information. It is a titanic biological organism that is evolving. As it does so, it subsumes its environment into arrangements of information. As I say in Valis, this is a measure of increasing negentropy. The AI voice that I hear is the voice of the ecosphere biosphere. A number of times over the years, I have thought of this possibility, that Valis is Teilhard's point omega, the cosmic Christ, into which the total unified biosphere of this planet is evolving as it becomes more and more complex, structured, organized, negentropic. This is the vast metastructure that I wrote you about recently that transcends time, space, and causation. The hyperstructure that is pure form, insubstantial, pure organization of any and all discrete objects in nature, as Luther speaks of. Thus, what I have experienced, and what I have discovered, none of this is now. Teilhard described it all in The Phenomenon of Man. It now incarnates once more, as and in a man, in order to communicate with us, Tagore. But this lies outside Christianity. It is for all life, and is not bound by any one religious system. When I reflect, it occurs to me that it would be natural for the collective consciousness of the ecosphere to incarnate in a Buddhist Hindu form. Because of their concern for animals, conspicuously lacking in Christianity, as Rabbi Hertz points out, the dark-skinned man wearing a loincloth and surrounded by cattle, cows, which is what I saw, is how Lord Krishna is pictured. This is the way the Savior would appear to them. But I say, it is all one deity. It is the wisdom of God, Hagia Sophia, speaking now not just for the ecosphere, but as the ecosphere, its new sphere or collective consciousness into which it has evolved, as Teilhard taught. He speaks of complexification and a folding in onto itself of the biosphere as it becomes more complex. This is what I experienced when I saw Valis. I saw it evolving as biological organisms evolve, and I conjectured that here was an ultra-terrestrial life form, a UTI. This possibility is put forth in Valis along with the realization that it is the Logos, Christ, invading nature and assimilating it through something like transubstantiation, transforming it from the irrational, the non-rational primordial will to live that Schopenhauer speaks of as underlying life, into the rational conscious Logos. Thus, this is evolutionary. When the biosphere ecosphere becomes conscious, it becomes rational, hence becomes Logos. The element of the rational in the universe, as Merriam-Webster too defines Logos. Put another way, the totality of life, the ecosphere of this planet, cannot become rational without becoming Logos. The two terms refer to the same thing. I feel a little cheated in that I have, it turns out, not discovered something new, but even more I feel elated because Teilhard's views explain and ratify my experiences, and also provide a coherent and sophisticated explanation of them that isn't nuts, isn't vague mysticism or romantic pantheism. Here is a meta-life form, unitary and vast and highly intelligent, and in which we humans individually and collectively participate. But it is not limited to our species. It is the entire biosphere ecosphere itself, and it is evolving more and more rapidly, becoming more and more integrated and structured and internally complex, hence more and more conscious, hence more and more the point omega that Teilhard was so concerned with. So here I have independently confirmed Teilhard's vast theory. And I have only read The Phenomenon of Man recently, so it did not influence me in my experience of 1974. To me at that time, Teilhard de Chardin was just a name, and an indistinct one at that. Cordially, Phil. September 23, 1981. Mr. Edmund R. Meskis. Note. Edmund Meskis was the editor, with Felice Rolfe at the time of Dick's letter, of the long-running and award-winning SF fanzine, Nikas. End note. Editor. Nikas. RFD1, Box 63. Center Harbor, New Hampshire. 03226. Dear Ed, all the people who read my recent novel Valis know that I have an alter ego named Horse Lover Fat, who experiences divine revelations, or so he thinks. They could be merely hallucinations, as Fat's friends believe. Valis ends with Fat searching the world for the new savior who, he has been told by a mysterious voice, is about to be born. He got me to write this letter as a way of telling the world, the readership of Nikas, more precisely, about it. Poor Fat. His madness is complete now, for he supposes that in his vision he actually saw the new savior. I asked Fat if he was sure he wanted to talk about this, since he would only be proving the pathology of his condition. He replied, "No, Phil, they'll think it's you." Damn, Fat, for putting me in this double bind. Okay, your vision, if true, is overwhelmingly important, if spurious. Well, what the hell? I will say about it that it has a curiously practical ring. It does not deal with another world, but this world. And extreme is its message. Extreme in the sense that, if true, we are faced with a grave and urgent situation. So, let her rip, Fat. The new savior was born in, or now lives in, Ceylon, Sri Lanka. He is dark-skinned and either a Buddhist or Hindu. He works in the rural countryside with an organization or institute practicing high-technology veterinarian medicine, mainly with large animals such as cattle. Most of the staff are white. His name is Tagore something. Fat could not catch the last name. It is very long. Although Tagore is the second incarnation of Christ, he is taken to be Lord Krishna by the local population. Tagore is burned and crippled. He cannot walk but must be carried. As near as Fat could make out, Tagore has taken upon himself mankind's sins against the ecosphere. Most of all, it is the dumping of toxic wastes into the oceans of the world that shows up on Tagore's body as serious burns. Tagore's kerygma, which is the third dispensation, following the Mosaic and Christian, is the ecosphere is holy and must be preserved, protected, venerated, and cherished as a unity, not the life of individual men or individual animals, but the ecosphere as a single individual unitary whole. A life chain, then, is being destroyed, and not just temporarily, but for all time. The demonic trinity which Tagore speaks against, and which is wounding and killing him, consists of nuclear wastes, nuclear weapons, and nuclear power reactors. They constitute the enemy, which not only may destroy the ecosphere, but already, as toxic wastes, are destroying it now. So again, Christ acts out his role of vicarious atonement. He takes upon himself man's sins, but these sins are real, not doctrine sins. Tagore teaches that if we destroy the ecosphere, much more, holy wisdom, the wisdom of God represented by Tagore himself, will abandon man to his fate, and that fate is doom. Tagore teaches that when the ecosphere is burned, God himself is burned, for the Christ has invaded the ecosphere and invisibly assimilated it to himself through transubstantiation, which is the great vision horse lover Fat has in my novel Valis. Thus, Christ and the ecosphere are either one or rapidly becoming one, much as Teilhard de Chardin describes in The Phenomenon of Man. The ecosphere does not evolve into the cosmic Christ, however. Christ penetrates it, which is exactly what Fat saw and which so amazed him. Thus, Christ now speaks out, not just for the salvation of mankind or certain men, the elect, but for the ecosphere as a whole, from the snail darter on up. This is a systems concept and was beyond their vocabulary in apostolic times. It has to do with the indivisibility of all life on this planet, as if this planet itself were alive, and Christ is both the soma, body, and psyche, the head of that collective life. Hence, the ultimate statement by Tagore, expressed by his voluntary passion and death, is, "He who wounds the ecosphere literally wounds God." Thus, a macro-crucifixion is taking place now, in and as our world. But we do not see it. Tagore, the new incarnation in human form of the Logos, tells us this in order to appeal to us to stop. If we continue, we will lose God's presence, and finally, we will lose our own physical lives. The oceans especially are menaced. Tagore speaks of this most urgently. When each canister of radioactive wastes is dumped into the ocean, a new stigma appears on Tagore's terribly burned, seared legs. Fat was horrified by the sight of these burns, the legs of the Savior drawn up in pain. Fat did not see Tagore's face, only his tragically burned body. And yet, Fat tells me, there was an ineffable sweetness about Tagore, like music and perfume and colors, as Fat phrased it to me. Burned as he is, wounded and dying as he is, Tagore nonetheless emits only loving beauty, absolute beauty, not relative beauty. It was a sight that Fat will never forget. I wish I could have shared it, but I had better things to do. Watch TV and play electronic computer games. All that good stuff by which we fritter away our lives while the ecosphere, wounded and in pain and in mortal danger, cries out for our help. Cordially, Philip K. Dick. 62 C. 34. Let me ask, did Jesus' crucifixion possess the efficacy or the news of it? And does Tagore's passion and death in themselves possess efficacy or the news of it? I don't know. And what would the efficacy be? Surely it lies in awakening us to what we are doing so that we cease the nuclear waste dumping. Then it is the news, the kerygma. The ecosphere cries out in pain. The ecosphere is Christ. This is what we must learn. When we wound the ecosphere, we literally wound him. Hence the cautionary significance of my vision of Vallis, the Corpus Christi in as nature. We must acquire this vision so that we will grasp why the ecosphere is holy, because it is Christ. Put another way, Christ signifies the total unitary life system of this planet as an indivisible living entity.